Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 31. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Chloe. My name is Kelvin, and I'm currently studying at Sydney Missionary Bible College, and it's my privilege to preach to you today from Hebrews. So why don't I pray for us? Father God, we pray that you will plow our hearts and that will be soft to your word. Father, we pray that in it we'll bear fruit for your glory's sake. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Neglected in an obscure place in my parents' house lies a peculiar collection. In itself, each piece is not valuable as they're mostly just cheap plastic. But displayed together, it somehow generates a sense of wonder and interest. In short, when you see it, if you don't, wow, you might at least, ooh. And if you don't, ooh, you will at least go, Well, what is it? It is a collection of toys from McDonald's Happy Meal from the 1990s. And even with some of the original boxes. Now, it is my sister's family heirloom, because, well, I wasn't going to keep it. In case you have never seen a Happy Meal, here's one I prepared earlier. The Happy Meal is the flagship children's meal from the McDonald's fast food chain. You've probably heard of them. It's been around for 33 and a half years. Typically, in this box, you get a small hamburger or chicken nuggets, and it comes with fries, a soft drink, and a different toy, depending whether you wanted a boy one or a girl one. Now, each year, the Happy Meal generates $3 billion worth of revenue in America alone. That's 10% of the total profits there. And through the Happy Meal, McDonald's is actually the world's largest distributor of toys. They give out 1.5 billion toys a year. That's more than Toys R Us. Now, why don't we do a quick survey? Put up your hand if you've had a Happy Meal sometime in your life. Okay. Now, keep that hand up if you are forced to eat it. Keep your hand up if you are forced to eat that Happy Meal. Wow. Karen, really? Okay. Now, put your hand up again if you've had a Happy Meal by choice last week, within the last week. Just one up the front there. How about last month? Anyone chose to have a Happy Meal last month? Okay, how about last year? Anyone who chose to have a Happy Meal last year? Sometime last year. Now we're seeing a bit more hands. Okay. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Now, I didn't expect anyone to have been forced to have eaten a Happy Meal. And most likely, for those of you, pretty much all of you, who have had one, the time you had it, you wanted it. So you desired it, you probably nagged for it, and you enjoyed it. But it just seems that you do so no longer. Why? Maybe because you're old now. You realize it's just a glorified cheeseburger meal, it's just Macca's, it's fast food, and you have moved on to something better. Happy Meal, you see, is only good for a time. Only for the season when we were children. But growing up means moving on, doesn't it? And unfortunately, sometimes going to churching, can easily become the next Happy Meal in our lives. I mean, how important is it really for Christians to go to church, to worship God with other Christians, to encourage and be encouraged by one another at church? You've all been to church, and sometimes you feel like you're made to come here. But it's going to church just like a Happy Meal, which is only good for a time, only for a particular season in your life, and growing up means moving on, doesn't it? What a passage today from the book of Hebrews tells us that churching, which is my shorthand for Christians gathering together at a building to worship God and to look after one another, is actually unlike the Happy Meal in three important ways. You have plenty of room in the back of the bulletins to make notes today. Hebrews 10, 11 to 31 tells us that unlike a Happy Meal, churching, firstly, it is not cheap. Churching, secondly, it is not settling for less. And churching, thirdly, it is not hazardous to your health. In fact, Christians are saved so that they can church. Okay, now, the first difference between churching and a Happy Meal is that unlike a Happy Meal, churching does not come cheaply. So on one hand, this Happy Meal cost me $4.45 at Carlo Court, $2 extras if you want to get chicken nuggets. But on the other hand, being able to worship God as my Father on a personal level cost Jesus, his one and only Son, his life. Look at verses 11 to 12 and then 19 to 21 in Hebrews 10. I'm going to read it for us. Verses 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The fact is, before Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, each person's sin separates them from God and makes that person God's enemy. Then Jesus, who is fully man and fully God, took on each person's sin so that whoever believes and entrusts their lives over to him may once again regain a personal access to God, being able to draw near without being rejected by God. This idea is what's being described in verses 19 to 20. You see, the most holy place is the center of the temple of God in the Old Testament. It was the symbolic place for where God lived. It was so sacred that only the high priest, the top priest, can enter once a year to offer worship to God on behalf of everybody. Entry without permission or uncleanliness is instant death for the offender. Before Jesus, direct access to God is limited to one person once a year and doing so on behalf of everybody. Churching is centered on worshiping God. And Jesus died so that Christians can participate in this very act as God's citizens, subjects, and people. But the question is, why? Why should Christians meet and worship together? Why church with others? If we can journey to God in our own privacy, why do we need to do so together? Okay, sure. Being able to worship and approach God on a personal level came at a great cost to God since He gave His one and only Son. Okay. But how does that mean churching in community is therefore necessary? Have a think about this. According to data from the Sydney City Council, approximately 10% of people in Sydney are evangelical Christians. Now, this figure could be wrong, and if it is, it would most certainly be lower than higher than 10% of Christians. But let's just say that's accurate for the moment, which means that the next time you're in a car along Penhills Road, you're waiting for a train at Epping Station, or being dragged along to groceries at Eastwood, or just hanging out at Castle Towers, statistically, 9 out of 10 people around you are going about their daily lives and constantly giving God the finger. And so if this privileged gift of churching is about honouring God and celebrating who He is and the grace and mercy He has shown us, churching is in stark contrast to the common routine of hostility and hatred towards God. Compared to our daily experiences in whatever life stage you're in, churching is not something a Christian can take for granted. For churching is the time when you can actually regain some eternal perspective. Being able to worship God and being able to approach Him on a personal level was the original purpose for creation. So therefore, when you are saved, you're saved not as an individual, but you're part of the collective redeemed people of God, redeemed with a shared identity. You know, you don't do God a favor by turning up to church, nor do you earn His favor by reluctant attendance. Churching is a gift through Jesus, which enables us to worship and approach God together, not just once a year and one person at a time. Therefore, cherish the enormous privilege of being able together and worship God. My wife, Esther, she has an aunt in Hong Kong, and she lives there. She's an amateur Chinese opera singer, okay? And she often parties with semi-pros in that circle. She cares for Esther a lot. And one thing she loves doing is to send Esther clothes that she thinks Esther will love and should wear. Now, the problem is her aunt thinks she is really trendy. And I suppose she could be for people her age. She's probably in her 50s. But Esther absolutely refuses to wear tops that she sends because they kind of look like this. I don't know if you can see it. There's... Now, on one hand, seeing this, you can understand why Esther don't want to be seen in this. I just can't see Esther coming to church in that. But on the other, don't let yourself treat God's gift of churching in the same way as an embarrassing or inconvenient gift, just like that top. Therefore, appreciate each and every brother and sister who makes up your church, whether they speak the same language or not, whether they're in your age group or not. You know, they could be too loud or they could be just too quiet. They could be too forwards or they could be too backwards. They could be too different or they could be just too boring. But in the same Lord and Jesus who saved you also saved them with His own blood. You see, unlike this Happy Meal, churching is a valuable gift that has come to you from God at a great cost to Himself. Don't take it for granted. Treasure and relish it. The second difference between churching and a happy meal is that unlike the Happy Meal, you're not settling for less. I don't know about you, but for me, there's always a slight cringe or regret after having fast food. There's just this feeling of, I shouldn't have done that. Oh well, what's done is done. For a few deluded days, I was seriously contemplating having a Happy Meal for lunch after church every Sunday in December, just for the purpose of this sermon. Esther, she thought it was reckless, foolish, and unnecessary. But in the end, the problem was I just couldn't do it. A rubbish burger, greasy fries, and sweetened fruit water are no match for proper food, even though it is Carlingford Court food court food. But for a Christian, churching, it's not just making do. It is not plan B in case something else comes up. It is not a brainless routine. Churching is possibly the closest reflection to heaven. Look at verses 22 to 25 and how it describes what churching is and what Christians should be doing when they meet. Verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, churching is drawing near to God. I've already mentioned that. But churching is also a time where Christians spur, urge, prompt, prod, drive, compel, or encourage one another towards two things, love and good deeds. There's a purpose for churching that involves more than just an individual Christian and God. Churching must also involve encouraging or building up of other Christians. See, this passage is not saying that when Christians meet, they may only encourage one another towards love and good deeds, and therefore everything else is prohibited. But mutual encouragement is simply a must. As well as being able to worship God together, mutual encouragement is what makes churching a precious and worthwhile time to spend with other Christians. Yet sometimes, just sometimes, we do come to church and seek a Happy Meal experience. We settle for less and we're okay with it. For example, there are many good things that comes with being in a community of people. When my family first moved to Australia in 1995, my parents can count on one hand the number of people they knew. None of us were Christians and none of us was interested. But when my mum was invited to a Cantonese-speaking congregation at a church, she was happy to go. Well, why is that? Well, not because she cared about God, but she wanted to make friends. We all want friends and company, and wanting to be in a community isn't just a Chinese thing. You see, going to church can give you that community. It is a good thing to have friends, and being able to enjoy time together with them is a blessing. But if you only settle for that when you come to church, you're settling for a Happy Meal experience. Another good thing that comes with being at a church is learning about God from the Bible. Sometimes we just settle for learning about the Bible itself and think, that's okay. Having solid biblical teaching and truths about the character and works of God taught is a good thing. It is a huge blessing that shouldn't be taken for granted either. But any church is much more than a spiritual school where you learn facts and skills. A Christian must participate in the church community. But if you settle only for Bible teaching when you come to church, you're settling for a Happy Meal experience. In reality, your fellow Christians are your family. They're your brothers and sisters who, like you, they are learning. They're struggling, they're flourishing, they're stumbling, they're enduring, and they're laboring. Don't merely settle for fun and games with them, nor should you settle for a lack of interaction with others. Be an encouragement to others and let them encourage you. But encouragement and encouraging, they're such fuzzy words, aren't they? What do they actually mean? Well, verse 24 and 25 gives us some direction. It tells us the end goal of encouragement and the reason for it. Verses 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The end goal, the aim of encouraging each other, is twofold: love and good deeds. This type of encouragement does not come naturally or easily. Because if you look at verse 24, the verse is urging us to consider how to do it. This whole being encouraging thing actually requires effort and thought. But the good thing is that it also means there are a variety of ways to get to this goal of loving good deeds. So you see, churching is where Christians motivate, inspire, help, and partner together to love people around them as God loved, to love them as God has shown them mercy, to love them as God has shown them grace. Churching is where Christians motivate, inspire, help, and encourage and partner together to do good for people around them as God is good, to do good for people around them as God has shown them his patience, to do good for people around them as God has shown them his compassion. There isn't just one way to do this, and it is a good thing, because it requires you to think, to participate, and not just simply doing the prescribed ritual to be encouraging. Brothers and sisters, consider, deliberate, and mull over how you can be encouraging and encourage others to love and good deeds. One very practical way is noticing the things you say. This is something Esther and I struggle with, and especially since John mentioned it last Sunday on the sermon, is to be thankful. Drop the complaining out of your conversations and replace it with thanksgiving. And the reason for doing all these things? Verse 25, the day is approaching. It is the day when Jesus will return to judge and to reign forever. Live in light of this historical reality. Be joyful in Jesus and not despair about this life. Yes, it has its tough moments, but they are momentary moments. Remind one another that Jesus has secured for you a perfect future. He is currently king, and you will be there meeting God face to face to spend eternity with him. Let this passage encourage you today to lift your eyes and see how important and great churching is, and don't settle for a Happy Meal experience. The third difference between churching and a Happy Meal is that, unlike having a Happy Meal, churching is not hazardous to your health. Like, I think we need little convincing that eating fast food is bad for you. But someone did an experiment. In 2004, an American documentary titled Supersize Me starred an American independent filmmaker named Morgan Spurlock. The film was an experiment where, for a 30-day period from February to March in 2003, this guy, he ate only McDonald's food. The film documents his lifestyle and its drastic effects on his physical and psychological well-being. In the film, he ate at McDonald's restaurants 3 times a day, eating every item on the chain's menu at least once during the whole experiment. On average, he consumed 5,000 calories a day. Now that's 9.26 Big Macs. As a result, the then 32-year-old gained 11.1 kilograms. That's a 13% body mass increase in a month. A high cholesterol level. He experienced mood swings, sexual dysfunction, and fat accumulation in his liver. Afterwards, it took him 14 months to lose all the weight gain from that experiment. Now, no doubt, eating Happy Meal continuously is going to be bad for you. But on the contrary, it is by not churching continuously that it's going to be bad for you. Here's what I mean. Look at them. Let us not, starting from verse 25 again, carrying on to verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, only a feeble expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on a testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? You see, amongst the recipients of this letter of Hebrews are some who have a bad habit. And not just a harmless bad habit like being too lazy to brush your teeth regularly or picking your nose in public. This habit of giving up meeting together as Christians, this habit of, I just can't be bothered churching, is more like seriously bad habits, like smoking and excessive drinking. Sounds exaggerated, doesn't it? Okay, so not going to church regularly as a Christian is not so good. I think everyone kind of can know and feel that. But sometimes it's more or less like handing in a homework or assignment late. You know, you cop a small penalty, but at least you handed it in. You know, at least I turn up sometimes. In the end, if someone else goes to church more regularly than me, fine, they get further along in the Christian life quicker. But the Christian life is not a race, you know. I just grow slower, but I'm still turning up. Surely the fact that I'm churching at all is more significant than how regular I church. Now, the problem with that mentality is that churching is then reduced to a hobby. It is thinking that churching is optional and gets better the more you get into it. It is thinking that the habit of regular churching is for the hardcore, mature, better Christians. But if churching is being encouraged to hold on to your faith and being encouraged to live in a God-honoring way, which is my rewording of verses 23 to 25, then the next section, 26 to 29, are surely describing the consequences of failing to persevere and continuing to live under Jesus' rule. Without the constant encouragement and support from fellow Christians and dwelling in the Word, the Bible, resisting sin gets harder and harder. Once again, we must just realize that the world, the cultural norm around us, is not merely neutral, but hostile towards God and therefore towards Christians as well. The devil exists and deviously plans for tempting, attacking and dragging down each Christian. Faithfully sticking it out as a Christian amongst your friends, at work, online, watching TV, traveling, playing sport, eating out at a nice restaurant, or just chilling at the beach, is not always an easy, relaxed or cozy experience. It is hazardous to your spiritual and eventually physical health to be unaware of the spiritual warfare that is going on in your everyday life. Many of you have been to the airport recently, and if you haven't, they have these things called walker ladders, which you don't see very often. Now, pretty much, they're like escalators. They, instead of going up, they go along the ground. Okay? Apart from being fun, they're immensely useful for travelers with lots of luggage, with small children, and the elderly. Because even if you're not moving, the walker ladder is moving you for you. In a way, our spiritual life is also on a walker ladder. Only the problem is, it is going backwards, unless there's something done about it. See, a Christian never drifts along and ends up growing in deeper love and knowledge of God. Our old self is relentlessly tugging us towards a lazy, affluent, and self-serving lifestyle, because living for ourselves just seems so much easier and pleasurable than honoring Jesus in our lives as King and Savior. Practically, this means searching for and seizing every opportunity of churching, which goes beyond just this Sunday service. Find and be part of a fellowship or a small group, wherever you're at. Don't allow yourself any excuses to skip churching. Plan ahead, make it a priority in your timetable, and shuffle your appointments and deadlines around it. Be prepared to give and forgive, because neither EC nor Livingstone, or any other church for that matter, is perfect. And let's not pretend anything is. But that's a motivation to pray for each other and serve each other, rather than merely a time to lament the immaturity or inexperience of our congregation. Praise God that there are those amongst us who serve selflessly for the spiritual gifts that God has blessed in each one of us for the building up of His church and for the consistent, faithful preaching of the Bible. Many health experts will tell you that not having regular happy meals are probably a good idea. But churching is unlike a happy meal. Do all that you can to church as often as possible, because giving up meeting together with other Christians is hazardous to your spiritual health. In the end, there are a lot of things that we move on from when we get older. Things that are only good and enjoyable for a season in our lives. We stop stuffing our thumbs when we sleep. We stop wearing certain clothes. We stop going to long and boring tutoring classes. We stop blasting music at max volume constantly. We stop playing games on our mobile phones. We stop needing Happy Meals. But never, ever stop churching. Jesus died and gave His life to open for us a way to approach God. And being able to worship Him in an intimate relationship is what each person is created for. Love and good deeds are God-honoring fruits of a Christian life, but they don't come with passive idleness. Rather, the love, support, and fellowship from churching with others is God's provision for each Christian to faithfully persevere. Christians are saved to be a church, first for God, then for one another. Let me leave you with this challenge as this new year begins. Start a new habit, a lifelong habit. Hold verses 24 to 25 close to your heart. Start a new habit of making churching what it is supposed to be for yourself and for others, wherever you are, whenever you church. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your gifts of churching, and we thank You that You redeemed us and brought us back to be Your people. Father, teach us what it means to love one another as You have loved us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.